Amen. Well, for those of you that I haven't had the chance to meet, my name is Arthur. I've been on staff here as a pastor for 13 and a half years and senior pastor for 2.5. And I love y'all. I love this place. God is doing so many cool things. Today really starts the Christmas season and actually the Christian year. So the Christian year actually technically begins today. Happy New Year. Because what we do is we begin the story of the Christian year every single year in Advent, where we start telling the story of Jesus. But I don't want anyone to think that this story just came about out of nothing. That in fact, the real story of Christmas, is actually a telling that is thousands of years in the process. In fact, one of the things that I really do think we don't do a good job of, and I mean we as in like the larger Christian church, what we haven't done is explain to people that actually Christmas is the conclusion of all the prophecy in the Old Testament. It is the end result. It is the goal. It is the purpose. It is the storyline. Thursday night, we're going to have a concert here. A guy from Nashville named Andrew Peterson's coming, and he's going to give a concert, kind of a Christian concert, retelling the story of Genesis all the way through the birth of Jesus. And he's got an entire song entitled Matthew's Begats. Because it's a lot of beginning at the beginning of Matthew. So there was Abraham who begat Isaac, Isaac who begat Jacob, Jacob. And then it kind of keeps going down and it starts telling all the people. And the entire point is they're getting going all the way from Abraham to Jesus. This is one of those things where you look at and you go, wow, that's a lot of names and I can't pronounce most of them. There's a song that says them all. I'm not going to try. I thought about trying today to sing to you all the Matthew's Begats. Don't, I just Google it. But the reason I want to get across that is there are times I think where we think, oh, there was Old Testament, then there's Jesus, then there's New Testament. No. Old Testament is actually telling the story, predicting the story of Christ. That actually Jesus is the follow through. You've got all these prophets and all these ancient people in the Old Testament who are telling about God's goodness, that God is going to make things right, even when it isn't yet. And the proof was in a tiny little manger. In fact, in the Gospel of Matthew, what they're trying to get across, what the gospel writer is trying to get across is that God had this plan all along. In fact, he says in the Gospel of Matthew, there were 14 generations. All in all, from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the exile in Babylon, and 14 from the exile to the Messiah. What he's trying to get across here is the storyline of Jesus coming into being was not accidental. I had friends who just went to Italy over Thanksgiving, and they had to explain to their middle school daughter what the Romans did to the Christians in the Colosseum and exactly how difficult life has been for Christians. Like, one of the funny things that I keep saying as a pastor is we think sometimes we're persecuted in this age, and it may not be as easy as it was 10 or 20 or 30 years ago. We aren't anywhere like Christians currently in the Middle East or in China or like most of Christianity for the first 1,000 years. I'm just here to tell you that the storyline of Christians is not one of, and they were left in peace. In fact, Christianity grows most often when things aren't quite right. And it's because, well, have you ever had this experience where when things are going well, you kind of forget to go to church because you're a little too busy? You have a little too much going on? By the way, I think that's all the fall with college football for y'all. I'm just saying, like the, and yet, it's precisely the difficulty of the world that points out how desperately we need Jesus. That those generations that were kind of walked through name by name by name in Matthew were actually the storytelling of the years and years of faithfulness of Jews who were faithfully pointing that one day God would make things right. Today we're going to read from the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah really ought to be divided into two sections, the first 39 chapters and then the rest. The first 39 chapters were written about 700 years before Jesus, kind of in between the northern kingdoms getting destroyed and the southern kingdoms getting destroyed. It's a long, complicated story. We're not going to tell today the entirety of it. But I want you to hear this piece because I think it matters deeply to when we come to Advent this year, we come to Christmas, and we ask the question, God, what do you want from us? When we ask the question, how should we live our lives? How should we connect with our families? The prophet Isaiah is extraordinarily helpful for a moment like this because it's not like everything's bad, but the world is dark and broken. And the question is, what's our role? What's our task? How do we live into it? And in about a little before the verses of chapters 8 and 9 that I'm going to read today, the northern kingdoms, there was a division. King David, his sons and grandsons destroyed the kingdom, split it into two. There were northern kingdoms and southern kingdoms, and northern kingdoms got destroyed by Assyria. And Isaiah is looking around at his people going, if we don't change, that's going to happen to us. I feel like it's like one of those football seasons where the coaches, right? You got all of these coaches getting fired these days because they didn't quite win enough games. And you've got a coach who's like borderline. They didn't make a bowl, but they were close. And they're saying to their associate coaches, they're going, if we don't shape up, we're going to be like that school. I'm not going to name it because that's just rude. But we're going to be like them. If we don't shape up, if we don't turn this thing around, that's what the prophet Isaiah is doing, except that what he's also doing is articulating that even through the brokenness that will come, God is going to make all things right. And in fact, in the darkness of the world, the only real light comes when we focus back on God. That too often what we've done when things are difficult is we focus on the wrong things. Here it is in the 8th chapter of Isaiah. When someone tells you to consult mediums and spiritists, these are people who communicate with the dead, who whisper and mutter, should a people not inquire of their God? Why consult the dead on behalf of the living? Consult God's instruction and the testimony of warning. If anyone does not speak according to this word, they have no light of dawn. Distressed and hungry, they will roam through the land. When they are famished, they will become enraged and looking upward will curse their king and their God. Then they will look toward the earth and see only distress and darkness and fearful gloom, and they will be thrust into utter darkness. There's a distinction Isaiah is making that I think is extremely helpful, at least for me in this season. Where do you look for light? Where do you look for it? I mean, I don't think it should be TikTok and politicians. I don't even think it ought to be news these days. Where are you going to look for light? For people pointing to a world where we can actually be who God made us to be, where do we look for light? That Isaiah's looking around and going, y'all are going to the wrong people. You're going to the wrong sources. And frankly, if all we're doing is looking at one another and trying to go, are you the hope? Are you the hope? Are you the hope? Isaiah's wanting us to look up and realize, as the psalmist says, from where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. It's not going to come from some king. It's not going to come from some politician. It's not going to come from the news. It's not going to come from a lot of sources. So if you're sitting there struggling with hope these days, I'm going to ask you, check your sources. Check your sources, because the hope actually comes from the Lord. The hope comes from God and nobody else. I have to tell you, sometimes people even think hope comes from preachers. And I'm here to tell you, I don't look at myself and say hope comes from me or Jennifer or Scott. Hopefully you have preachers, and I'm telling you, the rest of this team is just unbelievable, where we spend our time on our knees looking up and saying, God, can you come to me? That we're not sitting here saying that we are the answer, but that God is the answer, that Christ is the answer, that friends, there is hope, there is light, there is goodness. In fact, this season of Advent is intended to be a season of preparation for the coming of Christ. And what's funny is I think a lot of people think we're only talking about the little infant baby. And Isaiah talks about it. We're going to get there. But that's not actually what Advent is all about. Advent is about that just as Isaiah waited for Jesus, so do we. Just as the world is not quite right, the world today is not quite right, and yet we are not without hope. Those who only look for answers among humans or politicians or countries, they will live in gloom. But those who wait on the Lord, there is light that is coming. The light who is entering the world, this is who we get to be. People who point to the fact that there will be no more gloom, or as it says in Isaiah in the 9th chapter, nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. Can I get an amen? In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations. Of course, Galilee is where our Lord was from. By the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. We come here at Christmas because we need the light, and because the only source of it is no pastor, no single church. The source of it is certainly most of not our businesses or our bosses or our politicians. The source of it is the Lord himself. For this is what he says, and I'm going to tell you, this is going to be hard not to sing, but I'm going to try. Isaiah 9, 6 through 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of his greatness, of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. See, this is what we do at Christmas time. We carry this light, knowing that God has entered into the world, and he did so in a marvelous way. But I'll tell you, I've gotten asked a lot of questions about Revelation and end times since Israel's gone to war. Every time Israel goes to war, there's a desire for us pastors, and I know Scott's here somewhere, I saw him, for us pastors to kind of read Revelation onto this moment, right? For us to kind of explain exactly how it all is. I'm here to tell you, if anyone in the world says that they know the day and the hour that Jesus is coming back and precisely how to read the book of Revelation in a way that you can understand it, in a way that can say, oh, well, it's on Tuesday that Jesus is coming back. I'm here to tell you, they really need to go to Scott's class. I'm just saying, or Lawrence, 9:30, it's great. Because what they're trying, Jesus even says, I do not know the hour or the day. The point of scripture, both Revelation and Isaiah, is this. Christ is coming. There is light. And it doesn't come from any other source but the one who made us. The Word who called the world into being and was flesh and dwelt among us. And friends, one of the reasons why I'm so confident that Jesus is coming back and that I'm not going to waste my time trying to figure out exactly on what Thursday he's going to come is because that's not the question we're asked, friends. The question we're asked in Scripture is, will we be faithful until that moment? Will we carry that light forward? This is Jesus's parables. The kingdom of heaven is like a bride who's coming and pretty late. I'm just saying, Isaiah predicted the birth of Christ 700 years. We've been waiting 2,000 for Jesus to come again. Friends, I mean, we may wait another 2,000 years, but by the Lord's help, we will be found faithful. Because the metaphor is this, the bride's coming. Do you have enough oil in your lamp to make it through the night? Because it's gonna be a while. Do you have enough? Have you invested in your faith? Have you been faithful day in and day out? This is the question of Advent. Is both to celebrate that Isaiah was found truthful in his prophecy, and so shall we. So the question I have for you today is very simple, and it's this. Where are you looking this Christmas for light? Oh, it's here. I'm not a doom and gloom kind of guy. I'm a pretty big optimist. But it ain't coming from all the sources we've been paying attention to. Our help comes from the Lord. The light is the Lord's. And the good news is we get to celebrate that that light is coming. For unto us a child is born. And that child said, Don't you know I'm going ahead of you to prepare a place for you? And then I'll come back, and there will be a new heaven and a new earth. There is light, but that light, it ain't me, and it ain't you. It's the Lord. We shall not walk in darkness or in gloom. This Christmas, may we focus on the only source of light and life, who is the author of salvation. Dismiss everything else and remain faithful, because he's coming. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for this Advent season, this reminder that you are Lord and nobody else. Gracious God, I am overwhelmed sometimes at your goodness, even in the midst of a world that is not yet right. God, may we remember that Isaiah was right. There was a son. There is a son. Come soon. Amen.